The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, man. That was a whirlwind tour. I got up this morning and said to my wife, wait a minute, I was here yesterday, wasn't I? I didn't miss any. I slept in my bed again last night. Yeah, whirlwind tour to Washington D.C. yesterday. I keep my brain working. Little behind the eight ball here today. Chappaqua, New York yesterday is something that I've been really kind of been planning for several weeks anyway. I need to be able to do that. We're going to talk about that a little bit here today. Rolled in about, what time was it? About 2:30 last night. Got a couple, 3 hours of sleep. Feel pretty refreshed right now. So I'm going to carry us through the show and happy that you're all here with us. Again, a lot on my mind. Boy, my eyes just started burning apart. Pardon me a second. Woo. A lot of things to cover. And again, just honored you would all be with us here this morning. Trying to think, where do I start here? How about starting here? Randy went to court yesterday, and I'm glad. I'm kind of glad nothing happened yesterday, but really not glad. Jump in here real quick, Randy, and tell us a little bit about your experience yesterday in court. As those of you remember, Randy was given a citation for spitting on the streets, spitting on the sidewalk. I'm not making it up. Spitting on the sidewalk. At the abortion clinic, and he went to court yesterday. What happened, Randy?
I pled not guilty, Coach, and then the judge just said, okay, we'll move it to – we'll go to the next step, which would be a bench trial. Mm-hmm. And that'll be in about a month. So, yeah, it's all good. It's as I was telling you, Coach, this is an opportunity for us to – me especially, but other people involved to learn about the system and to know how it works and to – it's just revelation to me. So I'm going to see it all the way to the end, whatever that is. I'm going to go all the way to what
– I think a big part of it too, Randy, is to overcome fear. I really
– yeah.
I was thinking about that all the way home last night, and I thank some of you who talked me through the wee hours of the night last night. Not like I was having counseling or anything, but kept me alert on the road. I've come to believe that that's our greatest weapon. I'm sorry, that's the enemy's greatest weapon, is fear. Is fear, fear. We don't fear the Lord. First of all, we don't fear the Lord anymore. We fear man. And so many things we don't do that we should do simply out of fear. Remember what it says in Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving, fearful and unbelieving. And, you know, the many talks I had yesterday, fear came up. You know, I'm still dealing with this whole issue here at our local school district and regarding the homosexual issue. And I noticed when I go on the Facebook that now the students have now tried to take over my Facebook page with their comments, calling me an F in this and an F in that and an F in this and an F in that. And I continue to be amazed as I go to that website and think, you know what? People are afraid. People in the community are afraid. They won't weigh in. They won't say what they really say. So you can go to my Facebook page and read some of those things that those high school kids are saying, and you see why we're in trouble. See why we're in the mess that we're in. But we've got to get over fear, folks. We're in a really, really crucial time in American history. And the strength of our mettle is going to be tested, and it's going to be proven in the days ahead. I'm talking about in the immediate days ahead. And I think it's really, really important that we understand we have to overcome that. Jesus said, Paul said, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Before I forget it, don't forget coming up May 31st, I think it is, Hear the Watchman event in New York City. It's a it's a intensive spiritual warfare training. And I know that Mike and Jeannie could use your support out there. It's going to be Russ Dizdar and Tom Dunn and Russ's crew. Like I said yesterday, I don't know, have any idea how I got in the middle of it. But if you're out in that area, man, come down there and join us and spend the weekend with us and get yourself some good information. Let me jump in here. Let me jump in here and just kind of run real quickly here. I don't know where it is, Lord. I don't know where that is. Hey, Jared, Google right now. Commit to faithful men. Commit to faithful men. I think it's in one of the epistles, but I don't remember which one it is. Paul writing to somebody. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what I did yesterday and why I did it. Begin to get those emails already, right? There you go, media hog. There goes that media hog. He's always out doing something. I got to tell you something. My knees were knocking all the way out there and all the time I was there and all the way home. Well, not so much all the way home. We went and poked a bear yesterday for sure. And I was one of the phone calls I was having coming home. Maybe some of you don't know. I just assume everybody knows, you know, that I went and visited Hillary Clinton's home yesterday in Chappaqua, New York. And I was, I've had the feeling to do it for a couple of weeks. I'm going to show you here scripturally some of the reasons why I did it. Jared, were you able to find that? Do you have it up on the screen? Because I was having this conversation, I think it was, that's not what I'm looking for, Jared. I'm sorry. No, wait a minute, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, we're going to use that. Stay there, bud. Were you able to find commit to faithful men? Paul exhorted it. See, listen, folks. For the most part, thank you, Jared. There you go. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Boy, that'll preach. Christ, grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Therefore, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That kind of says it right there, you know, to be a soldier. Now, I was having a conversation with Victor on the way home. I think it was Vic. I don't know when he sleeps. But I said, listen, Vic was talking to me about, said, you know, Coach, man, there's going to be a lot of fruit from that and a lot of good things going to happen as a result of that. And I said, yeah, but you know what, Vic, that's not why I did it. Folks, listen, I'm going to give you an extremely important life lesson right here. I don't mean to be condescending, okay? We'll give you a very, very important life lesson. The Lord is not interested in your fruit. He wants fruit. The Lord is the one who produces the fruit. The Lord does. As John Adams said, I think it was John Adams said, duty is ours, the results belong to God. And I tried to share with Victor that we get caught up in the score. We get caught up in the fruit. We get caught up in patting ourselves over the back and what a great thing it was that we did. And I said, you know, Vic, I know this. I really don't care. I couldn't care less about the fruit of it. Oh, I hope it bears much fruit. I hope it does. But that's not why I went. I went for two weeks. For 2 weeks, I've been talking about planning on doing this trip of going to Chappaqua, to Hillary Clinton's home. I'm going to show you why here in a second. And I kept putting it off. A lot of reasons why I was putting it off. I was blaming my schedules, blaming a lot of things, and said, you know, it's just, Lord, I don't know, Lord, I don't know. And you know, the thing was, I knew I was supposed to do it. Can I say it's something else? I knew no one else would do it. I knew no one else would do it. And then I got a call from someone, said, hey, what's your plan on it? Got a call on Saturday. Said, hey, what's your plan? You're going to, where are you with it? And I said, I'm going to do it Monday. I made the decision right then and right there. I'm going to do it Monday. And I went out and rented a car, drove out 8 hours out, was on the ground for about 30 minutes, and drove 8 hours back. But here's what I said to Vic. This is the life lesson I want all of you to get. The Lord wants your obedience. The Lord wants your obedience. It's not about fruit. The fruit is not my responsibility. The Lord told me to do it. Yeah, somebody's out there laughing and say, you don't even know what that means. I know you don't even know what that means. I know that the Holy Spirit told me that I was to do what I did yesterday. And I put it off for 2 weeks. And the Lord is proud of me today. You know why? Because the scripture says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Faithful. The Lord will reward each and every one of us, not by how many souls we stack up, not by how many good works we do. We'll be rewarded for our faithfulness. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is hard for me to say, but I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it, okay? There are a lot of people who are watching the show, a lot of people who are in the queue, and you're kind of concerned, some of you concerned about, you know, you're not where you thought you were going to be, and it's not happening for you. And I'm going to tell you something that's harsh. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not faithful men. You're not faithful. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back saying I am, but I cannot impress upon you the importance of being faithful. Jared, can you scroll back down? I want to start there again, Jared. Hey, guys, listen. A lot of you don't want to do the hard thing. You don't want to do the scary thing. Can I tell you the truth? I know I can. I know I just said that, but I'm going to zero in on you. Some of you love your money too much. Some of you love your comfort too much. And you may think that the Lord doesn't see it, but he sees it. He sees it. And you can have this facade that you're doing this, but you know, you ain't fooling the Lord. Because I can promise you right now, there are things he's told you to do you haven't done. And you know what? You're not a faithful guy. You're not faithful. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, the grace is in Christ. The Lord is the one that graces you to do it. He's the one that's even given you the ability to, whatever the ministry is you're running, whatever it is, he's the one that's given you the grace to do it. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Not smart men, not funny men, not well-organized men, not faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. See, only a faithful man will endure hardness. And of all the words that Jesus could have used in this phrase, I'm sorry, all the words that Paul could have used in this phrase, he used as a good soldier. And some of you are not faithful men. Can I tell you why? Because you've entangled yourself. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. And some of you claim that you want to serve the Lord, but you won't. You're not all in. And you ain't fooling the Lord. So I'm most proud of myself, and my wife even mentioned it to me this morning. I'm proud of myself because I was faithful to do the hard thing. I'm scared. That's a bear to poke here, boys and girls. That's a bear. But I made the determination. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, and one thing I want to always want to be able to say is that the Lord can trust me. If he asks me to do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to be worried about what Billy says. I'm not going to worry about what Mark Trump says. I'm not going to worry about what Larry says. I'm not going to worry about what George says. I'm not going to worry about what Ray says. I'm not going to worry about what Bobby says. I'm not going to worry about that. If I heard from the Lord and I know that I'm supposed to do it, I want first and foremost to be a faithful man. Doesn't it say somewhere in those scriptures that when the whole thing's over, I'm going to sit down, and what's the Lord going to say to me? Well done, my good and faithful servant. And a lot of us have a lot of things that we put above the Lord, That's my admonition for the day. So, anybody want a comment? Anybody want to say anything there? That was 16 minutes of sounded like condescending. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling you the truth.
When I got back from preaching at the Earth Day, my wife got upset at me. She says, "You don't love me." But I'm trying to do the Lord's will, and it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt. But I did was able to talk to a young man after I preached, and the police asked me to stop, which it's about time to stop anyway.
Right.
And he said he believed in God and this, but he in the end, he made some sassy comments as I was walking to my vehicle, and I said to him, What you eat passes through the stomach naturally, but when a man speaks, it defiles him. And I told him, you are not right with God.
Amen. Amen. Something goes in the body, what comes out of it defiles. And Jared, good, Isaiah 59. Somebody else come in.
Coach.
Hey, Denny, good to see you this morning. I don't see you. Good to hear you.
Roger made me get up. I give him credit. No, I just wanted to say two things real quick on what you're saying there. What you're doing, what you did yesterday was more than faithfulness. The Lord Jesus says, those who love me, obey me. You showed your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what obedience is.
Amen. It's faithful. That's right. That's right. That's right. And hey, I'm going to tell you something. You guys know this, don't you? You know the FBI visited me 10 days ago? You know they were on my front porch out here 10 days ago? Do you know that I had a decision to make at that point? It was obvious I was on their radar. It was obvious that they're probably listening right now. If they're not listening here. It's obvious. And so it was obvious to me that somebody was trying to scare me back into the closet. For whatever reason that would be. They could have just been doing their job. But whoever sent those guys out here to see me, they're trying to intimidate me. And so shortly after that time that I heard from the Lord that I was supposed to go to Washington, D.C., that I was supposed to go to Chappaqua, New York. And I don't know if you guys know this or not. I have a family I love. I have grandchildren, children. I have a nice home and a beautiful wife. I have a lot of niceties. I have a lot of stuff that you got to ask yourself, are you really willing to risk it? You willing to risk it? And I called around and I tried to find, don't anybody feel guilty? I was looking for somebody to go with me maybe. No, I didn't call Lowell. I know Lowell would have gone. And I called a couple people and they didn't. And I knew then, see, Lord never sends you out by yourself. He sends you out two by two. Always does that. But I knew on this trip that the Holy Spirit was my companion. And I knew it was very real that I was walking into uncharted territory. And I had to make a decision whether I was going to be obedient to the Lord or not. Because I read Isaiah 59. Please tell me that this isn't coming across like I'm a hero. Please tell me that's not my intention. Please bear with me. I take the word very, very seriously. Where it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Can you imagine how the Lord must be hiding his face from America? Can you even imagine? For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And here it is. Verse 4. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief. They bring forth iniquity. I wasn't going to be one of those nuns. I wasn't going to be a nun. I wasn't going to be one of those guys that nothing called for justice. Because if we screw on down, it doesn't. We can go down a little further in Isaiah, Jared, and it says the Lord saw that there was no justice. Verse 9. Therefore, is judgment far from us? Wow. There's no judgment in their goings. They've made crooked paths, and whoever going therein shall not find peace. Therefore, is judgment far off from us? Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like a child, like blind. We all grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night, and we are in desolate places, as dead men. We're in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, mourn and soar like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it's far off from us. For our transgressions multiply before thee, and for our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know what they are. And transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God and speaking oppression and revolt and conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falseness, for falsehood, for 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street. And he saw that there was no man. Verse 15, and wondered that there was no intercessor. There his arm brought salvation unto him and his righteousness. And it sustained him. And the Lord saw there was no justice and it bothered him. So I said, what's going on here, Lord? So I'm going to go call him out. I don't know if this has dawned on you or not. Do you know Hillary Clinton worked for me? Do you understand I was her boss? Do we have any concept of how this government is supposed to work? Can somebody explain to me why when I pulled up there on Hillary Clinton's property, there were guards there? Why were they should be guarding me. She works for me. Does anybody go to a job anywhere where the employee is treated better than the owner? I'm the owner. I had every right to be there to demand for my employee recompense. But the government is so turned upside down that there isn't, if all the, not one of us understand that concept. They work for us. It's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Hillary Clinton's not queen. But we just accept it, don't we? Oh, Coach Boy, you're going to get it. You're going to go poke that bear. You're going to get it now. What are you talking about? She's my employee. She works for me. And she's out of line. I don't care how many black limos are sitting in front of her house. I'm going to go someplace. I'm going to stop and let somebody come in. Let me catch my breath here a second. I'm getting a bit too emotional here. Anybody?
Coach, I think this is what God is doing in our hearts. I believe he's stirring in us the cry for justice and righteousness. And yesterday, that's what I was studying. That's what I was on. It was just what was in me. It was, why aren't we crying out for justice and righteousness more than playing, than going to and fro, just doing our little life that means nothing? Why are we not doing more, Coach? And that's what the Lord's doing in my heart. He's changing me to do more.
Amen, Randy. And how did we ever reach the point where we're afraid of our employees? You tell me that something's not upside down there? Something's upside down there. Something's upside down. Said, boy, they're going to get you now, Coach. Well, hell, bring it on then. Come on. Let's get it done on my terms, not on your terms. I'm not going to cower and I'm not going to hide. I'll give you some evidence here. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, truth didn't fall in the streets yesterday because of one man, and that's you. And I'm saying that for myself personally because I was there with you virtually helping to produce things. You called me early in the afternoon, and not to get into too many details, but, you know, it all rolled out in advance of the thing, and then I watched you, and my heart was beating, and I was scared, and I wasn't even there. And it brought me back to the days in Maine, in Bangor, Maine, when Terry Hughes, guy I call the Iceman, was very well known and very controversial because he would very boldly stand on the streets with the full color pictures that we use. And I was one of those Evan Jellyfish back then. I was the big lobbyist in the state house who could analyze a guy like you wearing a funny looking cross hat, going to Hillary Clinton's house and making a fool of himself all alone. And I could analyze that six ways to Sunday as to why I shouldn't get anywhere near that. And I was wrong. I was wrong then. Anyway, today, this morning, I'm going here in North Carolina, where I live. The governor just vetoed a bill that would have ended infanticide here, would have stopped it. He vetoed it last week.
Your employee did? Your employee, the governor?
Yeah, my employee. And, you know, nothing's going to change him. No. You know, the lobbyists, that whole thing is so lost. The politics is so. This morning, I'm going to a baby murder center in Winston-Salem, and I'm going to hold my Malachi sign. And I made up a business card that's black that says "I stand," and then in small text it says "Mourning the legal murder of 70 million babies." And then I put www.michaelheath.org/iceman, and you can go there if you want. I'll put it in the chat when I'm done talking, and you can read what I wrote. And I've published the autobiography of the Iceman, a real guy who did these. He was in Operation Rescue years ago, went to jail with Terry, whatever his name is, way back.
Randall Terry.
And he's dead now. He's gone. But and he was ferociously criticized by the pro-life movement. Everyone criticized Terry. He kept a smile on his face, and he just kept on going. Mm. And Coach, that's what's gonna change things. It is
Mike, and even if nothing else, don't ever let it be said of you, verse number four, that none called for justice. Don't ever let that be said of you. We have to call for justice, fellas. We have to call for justice. Hey, Jared, pull up there. It says, let me get my stuff here. I'm sorry, buddy. pull up. I'm a little lost this morning, folks. Bear with me a second. I'll get it rolling here, I promise. Jared, pull up. It says Hillary's crimes. It says Hillary's crimes. All right, buddy.
Jared, faithful is doing righteousness and justice when nobody's looking. That's what Abraham did, Coach, when God called him to do what he was supposed to do. God said, I'm gonna see this happen through him because this man will teach, he will do this and he will teach his children to do it. And that was to do justice and righteousness.
Hey, Randy, anybody can do the easy thing. Anybody can do the easy thing. It's the hard thing that's hard to do. That's why they call it hard.
Amen. Amen. Huh?
So I got this on January 21st, 2009, the day Hillary Clinton was sworn into office as the Secretary of State under Barack Hussein Obama. The U.S. Department of State established a classified email account on the DOS server. Clinton never once used that secure system. That's from the FBI report, Clinton email investigation, September 2nd, 2016. Boys, that's a felony. From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department, 110 of the 152 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information the time that they were sent or received. Eight of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent. 36 chains contained secret information at the time. and 8 contain classified information, which is the lowest level of classification. Separate from those, about 2,000 additional AMLs were upclassified, upclassified to, I can't say, maybe if I move this, I will. I'm sorry. They were upclassified to make them confidential. The information in those has not been classified at the time the emails were sent. That's FBI Director James Comey, July 5th, 2016. That's felony number 2. 18 USC dash whatever says this: gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. Whoever, being entrusted with or having lawful possession of or control of any document relating to national defense, through gross negligence, permits the same to be removed from its proper place of authority, shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Also intend address under 18. She's Hillary Clinton's guilty of that. 18 USC, and next one. Unauthorized or removal of classified documents or material. Bitch bleached him. Remember, she bleached him and laughed about that? Whoever, being an officer of the United States, by virtue of his office, employed, position, or contact, becomes possessed of documents or materials containing classified information of the United States and knowingly removes such documents or materials without authority and with the intent to retain such documents or materials at an unauthorized location, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for not more than 5 years or both. Hillary Clinton is guilty of that, per the FBI. Concealment, removal, or mutilation, generally. Whoever, having the custody of any such record, proceeding, map, book, document, paper, or other things, willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, falsifies, or destroys the same, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. We know she did that. She's guilty of that. Public money, property, or records. Statements, or these are others that she's broken. Statements of entries, generally making a material false statement to Congress. Obstruction of justice proceedings before departments, agencies, and committees. The FBI confirmed that 110 Clinton emails and 52 threads were classified information. Clinton handed over 30,490 emails from a private server. She withheld 31,839 of the private emails. Hillary Clinton is a felon. Folks, none's going to... I called for justice. I'm not going to be one of those that said none called for justice, because I did. Now, I want to take you to something else. Stay with me here a second. Jared, let's go to, is that what I want? That's what I want. Jared, let's go to high crimes. It's one that says stuff, Jared. Stuff. High crimes. It's in our Constitution. I want you to read this along with me. This is by John Rowland of the Constitution Society. The question of impeachment turns on the meaning of the phrase in the Constitution, Article 2, Section 4, treason, bribery, or other high crimes, misdemeanors. If you do a study on this, you're going to find out that they argued back and forth of what the wording to put in there, and they settled on high crime. See, a high crime, well, stay with me. I've carefully researched the origin of the phrase high crimes and misdemeanors and its meaning to the framers, and found that the key to understanding the word is high. It does not mean more serious. It refers to those punishable offenses that only apply to high persons. That is, to public officials. Those who, because of their official status, are under special obligations that ordinary persons are not under, which could not be meaningfully applied or justly punished if committed by an ordinary person. See, if Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of the State, steals a pen, it's a high crime. It's a high crime. Not because of the seriousness of the crime, but because of the mandate of the Lord that our leaders should be above reproach. She violated the public trust. If she stole a pen, you say, Coach, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. Under the common under the English common law tradition, crimes were defined through a legacy of court proceedings and decisions that punished offenses not because they were prohibited by statutes, but because they offended the sense of justice of the people in the court. Jared, do you underline that? People were punished. Why? Because they offended, second line, Jared, because they offended the sense of justice of the people in the court. Whether an offense could qualify as a punishable depended largely on the obligation of the offender, the position, your job, your duty. And the obligations of the person holding a high position meant that some actions or inactions could be punishable if he did them, even though they would not be done would not be a crime if they were done by an ordinary person. Somebody's got to stand for justice. Somebody has. There's more crimes that Hillary Clinton potentially broke, more of them. Somebody come on in here a minute.
You know, Coach, when I was in the military, I had a very, very high clearance. It just frustrates the dickens out of me. If I would do something what she did, I'll be in Fort Leavenworth, right? I'll be getting out of Fort Leavenworth.
Yep. Amen, Jeffrey.
Yep, yep. Don't pay your taxes, right? Don't pay your property taxes. See what happens to you. Go into a court of law and lie under oath. See what happens to you. And see, it's severe for you. What would it be for somebody in a high crime? See, folks, it's called treason. It's treason. We don't use that T word very often, right? I hate to tell you that treason, you can look it up, is punishable by death. They have broken their solemn oath. And by the way, I just wanted to make sure that none calleth for justice. But that wasn't me. That wasn't me. We all need to begin to adapt that attitude towards it. Now, Jared, I want to play a little bit of the video. I want you to know this. I called it the greatest crime scene in American history. That's where I went yesterday.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, George.
Hey, just real quick, you know, and I know you know this. I know most people on the show probably know this, but there's such a deep root behind this whole thing. And, you know, I had lunch with Charles Jennings yesterday, and man, he blew my mind. He started telling me things that he's read over the years, things he's studied, foreigners he's talked to. And he said, you know, foreigners understand the deep, deep root behind this corruption better than most Americans. And I believe as Americans, we have to start getting our act together and understanding the root. We've got to take an axe to the root if we're going to get, because you know what? We could lock Hillary Clinton up and there'd be thousands just like her coming behind. And all we would be is treating the symptom. We've got to get to the root.
Amen. I agree with that, George. However, I believe Hillary Clinton doing a perp walk is the beginning of justice. I don't believe.
Amen. I agree too, Coach, on that. Absolutely.
We will never have justice in America if that woman walks free. We'll never have justice. And we know right now, I want you to think about the time and effort and energy that they put in to trying to find crimes on Donald Trump. Just find them. And there are, I showed you five today that are unmistakable without any question felonies. James Comey read those five things that she had done. Just those five things. The FBI's, where's the FBI come? To my house. They come to my house, not to her house. So that's when I made the determination. If the FBI is going to follow me around, I was going to take him to the crime scene. So I took him to the crime scene yesterday. And I'm glad I did it. Dale said he got knocked off the show. Can get logged back in at CoachDaveLive.com. I don't know what to tell you, bud. No. I thought you were awfully quiet.
There's a lot going on, Coach.
There's a lot going on, Mark. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. I've had the most shadow banning I've ever had on my Facebook page, ever.
Coach, shadow. This is Lowell. Usually I'm you don't hear me chime in on spiritual warfare matters, but I was brought to this morning to Luke 18, mm-hmm. chapter 1-8, where Jesus was telling his disciples about an unjust judge.
Uh-huh.
A widow kept bringing her case time after time after time until finally the unjust judge went ahead and rendered justice. Okay. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Cry out to him day and night, will he keep putting them off? And I will tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. So we need to pray for this. I mean, throughout the Bible, you've got the people saying, and I'm going to Habakkuk, minor prophet. Okay. Mm-hmm. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Every cry, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Mm. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Sounds like the front page of the Wall Street Journal, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. The Lord's answer to Habakkuk's complaint, which we need to be making every day in our prayers. And I will tell you, for 30 years, I have prayed this every day. How long, O Lord? Okay, the Lord says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told unto you.
Mm.
So ask him, and it'll be delivered. Petition our leadership, petition Trump, petition McConnell. You're seeing the movement. It's happening. Amen. I mean, if you watch his tweets, if you watch Trump's tweets yesterday, he put Mark Levin on, and Levin was talking about the coup, and Trump's talking about the coup. Mm. And he's saying, we're digging these people out. Now the worm has turned. Okay. So it's happening.
Well, so Lowell, so that's one of the reasons that I went yesterday. Yes, I did have ulterior motives. One of the reasons I went yesterday is that to try to tell my Christian brethren, we will not win if we remain silent. There ought to be thousands of people outside Hillary Clinton's house. There'll be thousands out there demanding that she be indicted. Not to do violence, not to do vigilante justice, not to do any of that, but to lift up our voice and rise for our elected officials to do their job. They are negligent of their job. Now, I want to ask you this. What would the left be doing? Would the left be outside? Would they be outside Brett Kavanaugh's home? Yeah, they would be. Are they outside, what's his face? The new AG, are they outside his house? Yeah, they are. Would Christians be outside Hillary's door? No, we don't do that. We don't do that. And I'm thinking about the big boy sitting in the White House, and he's looking out over the horizon, and he's wondering, is anybody for me? I mean, he hears that people are for him. But what if he turned on his TV and there were 1,000 people outside Hillary's house calling for her arrest, for her indictment? Do you think that would stiffen his spine a little bit? Do you think that would encourage him? It's like when I went and visited the elected official that I went to, the house rep. And at the end of the meeting, he said to me, oh, thank you for coming. We never hear from you people. We never hear from you people. Folks, isn't it time they heard from us? Isn't it time? Shouldn't there be a line of people outside there? There should have been somebody in line right behind me at Chappaqua. There should have been somebody in line right behind them, bidding, commanding, ordering our employees to do what they've been elected to do. We don't do that. The church says, oh, no, that's unchristlike. What are you talking about? Lowell just read it. I hope they turn out by the thousands. I hope they turn out by the hundreds of thousands and demand. I told that two cops came up to me yesterday at Hillary's. There weren't any Secret Service men there because I guess Clinton's must not have been home. And the two cops came up to me and I said, I want to make something perfectly clear right here. I'm not here for violence. I'm here to prevent violence. You guys hear what I just said? I'm here to prevent violence. Because if there is no justice, the Bible says that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And I'm here to tell you folks that there is a rumbling, there is dry tinder out in the fields of America, and this is not going to end well if there is no justice. So you better hear me, FBI. I was your best friend yesterday because I showed up in peace and asked to do their job. Do their job. That's all I did. I came in peace, and I warned those guys that if somebody doesn't arrest her, there will not be peace. And it's not coming from me, but it's coming. And I told them this. They said, you know, we have to have extra security because the next president lives here. That's one of the cops. That's what one of the cops said. I said, yeah, and he's living with a felon. I didn't know what to say. Righteous are as bold as lions. Can I tell you something why we're not right? Can I tell you why we're not bold? We're not righteous. We're not a righteous people. You know why our pastors aren't out on the streets? They're not righteous men. They're filled with fear. That's not a righteous quality. They're filled with fear. They're not righteous men. And so when I come in here day after day and say the righteous are as bold as lions, well, you look at the cowardly, you know they're not righteous. It's easy to see. I didn't have any problem. I wasn't worried about anything they were going to do to me when I went there yesterday. I wasn't worried. I wasn't hiding nothing. I wasn't hiding anything from them. Oh, I'm smart enough to know that. But, you know, what was it? Chuck Schumer said they have six ways to Sunday. The deep state's got six ways Sunday to get you. Look what they've done to Trump, and they still haven't gotten him. Can you imagine if they did an investigation like that into Hillary Clinton? Can you imagine what they would uncover? Yet they don't. And we sit here and we watch it and we see there's no justice and we don't get upset. And how can we talk to our children about justice and right and wrong and doing the right thing when we watch this debacle go on and no man rises up? And the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. But I can't go there. My goodness, they might come and surveil me. They might talk about me at work. They might say bad things about me on Facebook.
Dave.
Yeah.
They already are.
Well, what Lowell read and what you just said is very truthful in that if people realize that justice is not equally applied, you eventually have revolution.
That's right.
So, I mean, it sounds really, you know, exciting revolution. What exciting. No, it's not going to be exciting. Once people realize the laws are not applied equally to the people, there's going to be problems. And that's the direction we're going. I'm a lawyer. I see it in the court system all the time. The disgruntlement of the poor as to how justice sometimes is applied. The disgruntlement of those that do not have means. Wait till they begin to realize this is really true. That there's a problem here.
That's right.
And Hillary is right in. She's right in our face. Some of these
she's
people,
right in our face.
You know, because it's not hidden in the courtroom hallways. It's right in our face. The laws are not being applied equally.
That's right. Equal justice under the law. It's 14th Amendment. I use that. Jared, pull the video up, man. I got 12 more things I want to talk about.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
While you're gone there, Mike Blake emailed me at 6 a.m. this morning, wanted to know if we was on for Sunday. So for some of the people listening, we are going to do the church at the Gates of Hell Sunday morning at 9:30 at Schrock and Carl Road. Because we had a lot of people up there at Occupy, people from Central Ohio. He said he hadn't got the list of names yet, but there's people that wanted to go. So we wanted to kind of mention it a couple times this week that we will be there. So church service Sunday morning.
Jeff or Gary or Gary or Jared, you hear that? We got we got to get that out there. Church at Planned Parenthood on Sunday. Listen, I want to show you a little bit of this. I'm going to show you a little bit of this video. I got so much more to say. Folks, we're on the radar. We're on the radar. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to go down as a coward.
Coach.
I believe we have a very short period of time to try to rescue this government for our children.
Coach.
Yeah.
Can I say real quick, the FBI and anybody else that's listening in, please put me on your list because I am just as I'm with him. I'm with Coach. And I'm going to, hey, I tell you what, Coach, I think you know this about me. If I'm not already on the FBI radar, I'm going to double my efforts until I am.
Amen. Hey, folks, I want you to think about this. Bless you, Larry. I want you to think about this. Think long and hard about this. I want you to think long and hard about this. The FBI came to my house. Can you name one thing I've ever done that would make them want to come here other than point out what they were doing and what they weren't doing? And Hillary Clinton, I wanted to take them to a real crime scene.
Coach.
Yes.
Smite the shepherd and the flock will scatter.
And I get it. I get it. I get it. I counted the cost. Jared, go ahead and play a little bit of this. Some of us say, what are you talking about, Coach? It's all at CoachDaveLive.com. It's posted there. It was raining. Go ahead, Jared. Crooked Hillary.
Welcome, I like folks. This is the coach here. I'm sure you can read the sign. You've wondered, what is this all about? All this special announcement about what you're going to be doing here this afternoon. Well, I want you to know it's raining. I'm in Chappaqua, New York. I'm outside the home, just down the street from the home of Hillary Clinton. And I've come out here today because I don't know what you folks all think, but I think that our nation's at risk. And that if we don't wake up now, if we don't push back, I'm talking about patriots, I'm talking about Christians. If we don't wake up now and begin to push back, we're not going to have a country much. We saw what Donald Trump just went through, and they still are not letting it die. So I thought it might be appropriate that I'd get here this morning, it's actually this afternoon after an 8-hour drive to get here, and show you, I wanted to bring you to a crime scene. It's raining. I'm sorry for the umbrella. Sorry for any bad sound that we might have. I'm doing the best that I can here, all right? I want to show you something. I'm going to take you to a crime scene, all right? Can you guys see that? These are crimes that we know have been created. We know these crimes have taken place. The Clinton Foundation, Benghazi, Haiti, destruction of emails, Uranium One. And we are here to call for the indictment of Hillary Clinton.
Spelled her name wrong.
Listen, it's First Amendment right. Didn't bring any weapons. Didn't bring anything like that. Didn't want to try to do anything out of the ordinary other than do what the First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees me the right to do, which is redress our government, to petition our government for a redress of grievances. And right down the street from me, we're going to go here in just a second to Bill and Hillary Clinton's home. It's a crime scene. It's where most of these crimes were committed by Hillary Clinton. Now, I got a couple questions before I drive down there. A couple points that I want to make for people to understand. Number one, we live in America where there is no justice. If you think that we have equal justice under the law, you're seriously mistaken. Look exactly what they just put Donald Trump through over the last, two and a half years, what they drug him through. With no evidence, and yet we have, as I just showed you, at least four crimes that we know. These are not accusations. These are crimes we know that the Clinton Foundation, Benghazi, Haiti, email destruction, Uranium One, people died in Benghazi. No justice. You and think Hillary Clinton is walking free today? She's walking free. Now, I'm asking a couple questions when I'm here. Number one, I want you folks to be aware of this. I was visited myself by the FBI about 10 days ago. They came to my house. Now, I'm thinking after they came to my house, why would they come to my house? Why are they not in Chappaqua, New York at Hillary Clinton's house? Why are they at my house? I have four of my friends who have been visited recently by the FBI. Can somebody tell me what's wrong in America? Yeah, do you feel safe like that? Knowing that if you just begin to speak up and try to defend your country, stand up for what's right, that the FBI is going to come knocking on your door? So the truth of the matter is, it's a matter of time. It's just a matter of time before they say, Coach, you're paranoid. No, I'm not paranoid. I'm telling you the truth. Never dreamed in a million years they'd come and knock my door, but they came knocking on my door. Now, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you this. I'm very, very straight about this. I'm not talking about violence. No violence against anybody. I'm not telling anybody to come and get guns and arrest Hillary Clinton. Nothing like that. No, but as I said, the First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees us the right to petition our government for a redress of grievances. And I got some grievances with this woman who's walking free today, that the FBI comes to my house and visits me. And then, as you see, when we get in the car and drive over there, that those black limos are sitting out in front protecting that criminal. We'll take you to crime scene. And here's one of my questions, and here's one of my challenges. Where are the Oath Keepers? Where are the Oath Keepers? Where are all these patriot groups that are out there always blowharding? Where are they? You guys signed an oath that you would defend America between all against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And let me tell you something. There's a domestic terrorist that's living down at 15 Old House Lane. I'm going to take you down there in a second. Now, that's my opinion, but there's great evidence. And I am here today to do two things, to call for the indictment of Hillary Clinton and the others in the deep state, and to ask why are there not thousands of people outside Old House Lane here in Chappaqua, New York, demanding justice? What is going on, folks? Listen, if we don't come out of the closets, if those of us who carry the name of Christ don't come out of the closet and stand up and fight and push back against this darkness, there will be no hope for our children and our grandchildren. I didn't serve in the war. I didn't serve. I was a Vietnam era. I didn't serve. But I know that there are people who are watching now, guys who served in Vietnam. Maybe some of even those Korea vets are still out there. And some guys who went over into the Gulf War and fought in the Gulf War and bled and watched their friends bleed and die over there. And to watch these domestic terrorists trying to steal our country from us. They say, Coach, aren't you afraid? Well, sure. But isn't there something wrong when you're afraid of your own government? Isn't there something seriously wrong when you are afraid of your own government? Why should I be afraid? I'm calling for justice, equal justice under the law. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, they have no more right to break the law than what I do. You say, are you afraid? Yeah, I'm afraid. I'm afraid, but you know what? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. And there have been many, many people who've come along before me who've paid a far greater price than what I've paid. Yeah, my knees are knocking a little bit. Yeah, the butterflies are going, flying around in my.
Jared, move ahead just so they can see that we did go to the Clinton household. Folks, listen. Share this video. Make this video go viral. There it is.
This is the greatest crime scene. One of the greatest crime scenes in American history right here, folks. 15 Old House Lane. The home of Bill and Hillary Clinton. I'm sure we're on cameras. I'm sure the FBI's probably been following me all day. And here's what I think, folks. What would it be like if we had 1,000 people out here petitioning the government to do its job and come and arrest Hillary Clinton?
There you go, Jared. You can stop there. That's it in a nutshell. Folks, let's make this go viral. What it would look like if we had 1,000 people outside Hillary Clinton's, just to not to do anything to Hillary Clinton, not for any violence, nothing like that. No. Just to bring attention to the fact that our government's not doing its job. Hey, I don't want to be among those that says that none called for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. It ain't going to be me. I'm going to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but I'm going to expose them. Please share it. Please share it with your friends. There's a petition you can sign. What are petitions? I don't know. Sign a petition on our website. I don't know what we'll do with it. It's time for God-fearing men to stand up and be counted. God bless you. I have more on this for you tomorrow. We'll see you then. Thanks.